Now we have our second feature, Harking Back with Emma Brennan. She looks back on coastal trips when the scent of sun cream, chip vinegar and sea air meant summer fun. Your reader is Sarah Lusher.
The recent spell of warm weather has resulted in a flood of nostalgic memories of long, hot days spent by the sea as a child. For us, it was quite a trek to get there and involved packing copious amounts of beach paraphernalia, ranging from deck chairs and picnic blankets to the obligatory windbreak and a mallet to knock in the posts. Then there were the packed lunches, just in case the queue at the chippy was too long, and of course the beach bags stuffed with swimwear and towels. A lot to fit into the car for starters, let alone pack up again at the end of the day when everything was plastered with wet sand. For my aunt and uncle and their four children, though, there was no need for most of this kerfuffle because they were lucky enough to own one of those great British icons, a beach hut. Yes, it meant them going to the same beach every time, but it provided not only a sheltered spot for sitting if the wind got up, but also a place to change and store the gubbins required for a day at the beach. They were lucky because their beach hut was also close to a water tap and the public toilets, and it had access to electricity. That meant it was also a place we could make another of those much-loved British staples, a cup of tea, which to me always tasted that bit better outdoors, especially after a bracing dip in the chilly sea. I was lucky enough to enjoy the occasional happy time in the vicinity of this tiny home from home, which wasn't in the least bit fancy, but provided a comfortable retreat from the elements. I always coveted my cousin's use of the beach hut. As a child, I loved the idea of little houses and once spent a good deal of time transforming a rundown shed in our garden into a makeshift Wendy house. So you can imagine my excitement at the idea of having a bijou residence by the beach. As a child who did not like being out in the sun, the beach hut also provided welcome shade, but still with a sea view. On the occasions when my uncle would go and get us battered sausage and chips for lunch, we were able to sit at a small fold-up table in the beach hut and thus avoid getting sand on our chips. I can still recall the heady mix of sun cream, the vinegar from the chips and the salty sea air. The brightly coloured huts that are synonymous with our seaside resorts these days were not always that way. They progressed from Victorian times when horses would tow wooden carts known as bathing machines onto the beach to enable women to take a dip while preserving their modesty. As a more liberal approach was adopted over the years, many of the bathing machines found new life along the promenades as what we now know are beach huts. By the mid-20th century, there were beach huts at most popular resorts, many being built by local authorities and loaned on seasonal licences. The basic charm of the British beach hut has been taken to a whole new level these days, with owners going overboard on paint jobs and fancy interior decorations. It's often a good investment, as beach huts in some of the more upmarket resorts change hands for more than a two-bedroom house. I can't help remembering my dad referring to beach huts as glorified sheds, so goodness knows what he would make of the idea of paying £200,000 for one. Even if a beach hut is looking a bit worse for wear, it can still make upwards of £35,000 in certain locations, and that's before you've paid out for the site fees or rates. As my dad always said, it's not as if you can even sleep in them. They're just really expensive changing rooms. My cousin Suzanne looks back fondly at time spent in her family's beach hut, which she described as a great multi-generational meeting place. She said, after 50 years of using it, Mum and Dad knew all the neighbouring hut owners. We were lucky to have electric attached to the hut, so had lighting and a fridge. There was a curtain to hide behind when you got fed up with the sun and people going past and looking in. We had a bench seat to store all the inflatable rubber rings and buckets and spades. We also had a windshield so we could claim a few feet of the prom outside the hut to sit on. Suzanne also remembers the work involved in keeping the hut weatherproof or cleaning out the sand and pebbles after a high tide or winter storm. She added, the lino on the floor had to be swept at the end of each day to remove the sand before all the sun chairs and beds were packed away again for the night. There was no designer matching furniture, just a basic mix of chairs in typical 1970s brown and orange. But it was a home from home for Mum and Dad, and they went every weekend when Dad retired. The rusty padlock and damp cushions didn't curtail the visits. even in the autumn.
Thank you, Sarah.